for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is tape 2 of 4 tapes on demon activity by Reverend W.L. Duncan, a minister of joy and deliverance.
Now as we continue on concerning the ministry of discerning of spirits, of binding and loosing spirits, we read in Luke the 10th chapter and the 19th verse where the Lord said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And also in St. Matthew the 18th chapter and starting with the 18th verse, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Wherefore, where two or three are gathered together in my name, that there am I in the midst to bless. As we have considered these different demons that people have, and then after they have been delivered, we have to realize that we have the power to bind demonic activity not only in the life of another person, but also even state-wise or nation-wise. When the church will realize that the Lord has given unto us the keys to the kingdom, and he said, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth. Now you can pray for God to do this, and the Lord told us to do it. You can pray for something else or for it to be done some other way. But the Lord said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We have power to loose in the name of the Lord, for as we have just given you the scripture, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then, as we've gone on into Matthew the 12th chapter, and we've just given you the word, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places. He seeketh rest, and he findeth none. Then he says, I will return to my house, a place that he's been for such a long time. And when he comes, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he, and he taketh with himself 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in there and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the beginning. Now it is important to know that after you have been delivered, after the demons have been commanded to come out, after they have gone out, it is important for that area in your life that has been swept, that is left clean, that is a vacuum at this time, for it to be filled with the Spirit and the power of God. As we continue on in our study, we have listed for you several spirits that we have explained. Number 1 was a spirit of unrest. Number 2, a driving spirit. Number 3, the spirit of confusion. Number 4, the frustrated spirit. Number 5, fear. The spirit of unbelief and blindness, a lying and deceitful demon, a withdrawing demon, the demon of buying, the lust of the flesh, demons of appetite, and then we concluded with demons of oppression. Now we're going to go on to number 13. Many people are bound and possessed with the demon of weakness. Now we realize that in the age that we live, we have push buttons for everything. We have automatic cars. We have everything placed in our home. Even on our jobs, people do not have to work like they did years ago, 10 and 12 years ago. And many can remember that years ago when God would begin to move by His Spirit, a campaign would last 8 or 10 or 12 weeks. People would go and be there until hours of the night, many nights, all night prayer meetings. And yet they had to get up in the morning and go to work at 5 and 6. Mothers with large families would have to wash on washboards all day, do all the cooking, the ironing, the carrying of the water. And yet they had strength in those days that even younger folks don't have today. Now listen, saints, there are demons of weakness today. The demon of weakness will take hold of a person, and whether you work or not, or whether you have much to do or not, you're weak all the time. You seemingly have no strength all the time. Recognize this for what it is, for it is a demon of weakness that you need to be set free from. The word of the Lord tells us the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it's not necessarily that you're weak because of the much labor, the hard work that you've done. Because if you are possessed of a demon of weakness, you will be weak whether you do anything or not. All right, number 14, and this one is so prevalent across the country and also in other countries, and it's a religious demon. Now, there is a difference of being saved or being religious. A person that is saved, and this may be shocking to you, a person that is saved can also be possessed of a religious demon. Now you may say, well, how does this work? This stands out very easy. It's easy to be discerned. A person that has a religious demon does not know how to flow with the rest of the congregation. There's one thing in the move of God, and that is participation. If you do not participate in the way that God is moving, if you do not learn to flow in the Spirit and in the realm that God is moving, and I want to mention this again, in a service, when there's a spirit of singing, everyone's singing to the Lord. Don't feel that that's a time that you should prophesy. When there's a time of prophecy, that's the time to move in and prophesy and not to feel that you should dance before God. If there's a victory march going on, don't feel that this is a time that you should dance before God. Or if the saints are dancing before God, don't feel that this is a time that you should be prophesying or giving a tongues message. Because if the saints will realize this, the flow of the Spirit and the avenue that God is moving, if you will flow in that direction, it's going to bring one accord, it's going to bring unity. And as we have mentioned before, where there is unity and where there is one accord, this brings faith because God works in unity. He works when there's a one accord spirit. And naturally, when faith is in operation, there are going to be miracles, there are going to be healings, prayers are going to be answered, confidence is going to be restored in the Word of God. Now, you can always discern a religious spirit. If God is moving in a certain direction, some of that person that has a religious spirit or persons that have religious spirit will start to move in another direction. Now, after they have been ministered to for several times about this, if they still do not flow in the way that the Spirit is moving, that person or those people need that religious demon to be cast out. Another way that you can so easily discern a religious spirit is like this. The only description I have is that your hands feel slimy. These people are so nice. They are so sweet, and I'm not speaking about just being nice in the natural and kind in the natural, but I'm speaking of this over nicety where it just feels like there's honey dripping on your hand. You know what I'm speaking about as I talk about it now, because even as I speak about it, I can feel it, and you just want to some way draw this line off your hands. It's so slimy. It's just like honey that is dripping. That is one of the ways that you can discern a religious spirit. Now, don't misunderstand me here. A person can be religious, or they can be saved and still possess of a religious spirit. Now, the thing that the enemy is concerned about is getting in the house of God, is getting in the sanctuary. As we have mentioned so many times, he knows that he has a people of the world. He's not going to bother them. So any area that will be open, and if a person will want anyone else to think they're super spiritual and that they're different from the rest, this is an area that will open up a person for religious spirits. And another thing, many times a person will want recognition in the house of God. It's a very religious person. They'll want to be voted into this office or another office. And if they don't, well, this brings hard feelings. It brings separation in the body. And this is another way that a religious spirit will enter in. Now, you that don't know how to flow in the realm of the Spirit when God is moving, recognize it for exactly what it is. And take the deliverance message and take the mass prayer of deliverance that we have ministered to you in these states. And as a word that of command is given, you give forth and vent to that and allow the religious spirit to go. We have the power to reject and to take dominion over these spirits the instant they would come out, because Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, it's up to your human spirit whether you're going to allow them to go or not. It's up to your human spirit. A human spirit cannot be cast out. But I know this, according to the Word of God, that the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. And as the command is given, as we have already given you testimony, if the demons do not come for one reason or another, perhaps it's something concerning the human spirit or something else in your life that has to be cleared up for there to be the understanding, then you take the tape again and play it. And as the command is given, you'll find that there is going to be the deliverance, because demons have to obey. Remember, we don't battle any demons. We don't fight the demons, because the battle was won over demons 1900 years ago. Jesus became conqueror. Jesus stripped the devil of his powers. Jesus stripped the demons of their power. And as we have been teaching you in these lessons, that the only power that demons have is a power that you will lend them. And if you will not lend them your power, they are helpless beings. Now, remember that demons are intelligent beings. There's a difference of being powerful or intelligence, because they have no power in themselves. They are spirits that are walking about trying to find a place to move into, an area that is open in a person. And the minute they find this, they move in and they use your power. This is the reason it's important for you to keep your heart and your mind upon the things of God. And when the commandment is given to walk in the Spirit and to be filled with the Spirit, the writers were not just talking about something to fill chapters in the Bible, but they knew exactly what they were talking about, because they knew that we did not keep filled with the Spirit. And again, I feel that it should be mentioned here, there is a difference of being filled with the Spirit and being saved and having received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and still have areas open in your life that has not been cleansed, because of the Holy Ghost is given as a gift of God. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. I don't understand that. Many don't understand that, but it's still what the Word says. But a person can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues, and be used with the gifts of the Spirit. And this is the reason they are so deceived, because they feel it's impossible. Well, when the Lord came in, that the demons had to go. There is no place that will tell us that when we repented of our sins, the demons left. And this is a ministry that the Lord sent the disciples, and He sent the others out two by two. And He says, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. And He said, to cast out demons. All right, now there are actually demons of death. You say demons of death. Yes, we've met so many that have come in, and they've actually had a demon of death way before their time. Many times as we have started to minister to individuals, even young men, middle-aged men, between 20 and 30 and 40 years old, as certain demons would start to come out. Now, I've assisted full-time in a mortuary, as I've mentioned before. I have worked with ambulance cases just before death and so forth, and I know how it works. And many times as we would begin to cast out demons from these people, we would look at them, and actually there was a look of death on their face, around their eyes, and in their mouth. And at first I said, well, Lord, what is going on here? And the Lord said, a demon of death. And He said, cast it out. And I'll tell you what these demons would try to do. The demon of death would actually try to kill this person before they had a chance for the rest of the demons to come out. Now, that did not bring any fear to us, because we knew we had the power to bind and to command that demon of death to come out, so that that person could receive ministry. Now, I'm going to mention about another demon that we're facing all over the country, and that is an animal spirit. You say, I've never heard of an animal spirit. An animal spirit is so terrible. And you say, well, how does it come? Any child or young people that play around with animals, and concerning illicit relationship and so forth, and many times they do it not realizing what they are doing, they are opening up an area in their life for an animal spirit to come in. Many times in the flight of the spirit, and again I'm going to speak very plainly here, many times during a normal relationship, it can be with a husband or wife, or it can be an illicit relationship, there can be the flight of the spirit, and in the flight of the spirit is feeling that he is having relationship, or she's having relationship with an animal. Now, this is exactly the way an animal spirit works. An animal spirit is a very unclean spirit, and it will always be linked with uncleanness in other areas, because this spirit will not walk alone. And remember, if something has gone back, and this is the reason the word of knowledge operates many times, is discerning of spirits will come forth, so that a person will know what is taking place and the area that was open. And I've had people say to me, oh, that is something, a skeleton in my closet. I've never discussed anyone with anyone. And as I've begun to move in, now remember, with spirits like this, I do it in a separate room. I do it in privacy, because it's nobody else's business. It's up to that individual and God and myself as a servant of the Lord. After we leave that delivery room in joy, that person is set free. And unless that person would choose to share their testimony with somebody individually, in fact, I would say they, most of the time, they shouldn't do it openly. They don't need to name the demons. They can mention that they were delivered of demonic powers, but they don't have to mention areas like that, because many times if they do, afterwards the devil will take advantage. And remember that the Holy Ghost is not the accuser of the brethren, but the devil is the accuser of the brethren. But this is one spirit that we must guard against. This is one spirit that we must remember that is very prevalent. And you would be surprised at people that you know that if you would begin to discern in the spirit, they are actually possessed of an animal spirit. There are certain laws that God has laid down in the Word, and that's the reason when certain spirits come in, they actually destroy the person quicker than other spirits, because there are definite commandments that God has given us. And one is that there should be no relationship with an animal. One is that there should be no relationship with the same sex of a person. And certain laws like that, and if a person will go against God's laws like that, their minds are actually turned over to a reprobate mind. Now, this needs to be preached to the children. It needs to be preached to the juniors. It needs to be preached to the teenagers. It needs to be preached to the adults. And many of the adults have been sitting in churches for long. They know nothing what is going on. And then suddenly they wonder why their teenagers are out in the world at 16 and 18 and 20. And yet when we begin to bring a message like this, people will throw up their hands and say, oh, the body shouldn't know this. The body isn't ready to know this. The believers are not ready to accept this. Listen, if we're not ready to accept the message of truth now, we will never be ready to accept the truth. And the devil will blind our hearts and our ears. And it's actually spiritual pride that is keeping this message from coming forth. We need to know the truth on these things because it's in the Word. And I've had many young men that are in their 20s said to me, if I would have known that when I was 20, if I would have known that when I was 12, if I would have known that when I was 12 or 10 or 11 years old, they said, I would not be in the predicament that I am in today. God help us to speak the truth. In your Sunday school hour, you take the Word, do away with a lot of literature, and you take the Word and bring the Word forth. There is one thing to preach, and it's another thing to minister in your preaching. We don't need better sermons. We don't need more sermons. We need anointed messages that will reach down deep in the hearts and the souls of the people, and that the Spirit of God will take that Word as a sharp two-edged sword and bring conviction upon that person, and for that person to be willing to come to the place that they need deliverance in the name that is above every name. Now, according to the Word of God, in the last days, there will be many seducing spirits and subtle spirits. Now, a subtle spirit and a seducing spirit will always work together. What does a seducing spirit do? It seduces a person. It brings them under subjection. What does a subtle spirit do? A person that is possessed of a subtle spirit will bring other people under the dominion of themselves. Now, remember this. Remember that. That is so important, because as this subtle spirit and seducing spirit will work, they can move upon a person that's actually not strong and they don't have the understanding of this. And this is a reason you see both with men and women that are possessed with subtle and seducing spirits, other people will come under their dominion and they'll actually wonder what is happening to them. They wonder what is happening to the other people. And the very thing has happened, seducing spirits, and it will bring forth doctrines of devils. Now, the world is full of doctrines of devils. I challenge you at this time, quit reading so much literature. There's literature and interpretation on so many things that are supposed to be from the Word of God. You take the Word of God and that which saith, thus saith the Lord. If you're going to teach, you begin to teach the Word of God, word for what it is. And let's quit putting our own interpretation on it. And let us allow the Holy Spirit to make it revelation to us. For the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Now I'm going to move on into another spirit, a dominating spirit. There are many people get offended if they're not voted in to play the piano, the organ, if they're not voted in to be the song leader, if they can't preach as often as they want to. And you know exactly what I'm speaking about here. Many times we get together, we'll vote on board members. It brings such division in the house of the Lord. And all of this is not according to divine order. The Word of God says, choose ye out 7 men that are filled with the Holy Ghost. 7 men, he said, filled with the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And many times we vote a person in just because they have prestige. We vote them in because they have money. We vote them in because we feel that they're going to lend so much to the church when it comes to their personality, when it comes to their money, when it comes to their background. Listen, the leadership of the church should not be dominated by that type of thing. The ministry in the church should be dominated by the Holy Ghost. And men and women, including the ministers, that are willing to step aside when God moves and allow the Spirit of God to move upon the body of Christ. This is the reason a move of God will take away our crutches. It will take away those things that we have depended and leaned upon so for such a long time. But I'll tell you, when the crutches are gone and when all these things, the aids that we've called them, that we've looked to and stood on for so many years, when they're gone and we begin to lean upon the arm of Christ and not upon the arm of flesh, for in one of the tapes I mentioned to you, if you choose to lean upon the arm of flesh, you're going to get what the arm of flesh has to offer, and that is nothing but disappointment. Now, you remember that. Men and women, and even if you see this in your children, that your child is domineering, you come against that and cast out that domineering spirit and allow the life of Christ to flow through them. Now, as we move on in the realm of the spirits, many are possessed with spirits of anger. Many are possessed with spirits of resentment. Why? Because as a child, many times parents thought it was cute. Their children would go into a tantrum. They would hit their head on the floor. You know what? Instead of being cute, that is an area that has been open for demons to come in. And mothers and dads, I'm going to speak to you right now. I want you to listen very close. A child that has not been disciplined by mother or dad is a child that is open for demon possession as you grow older. If you do not train up a child in the way that he should go, and America needs a revival of training the children. We have put, we've actually thought the school teacher should be the policeman, the pastor should be the policeman. We've allowed young people and children to come and to gather in groups in the house of God, chewing gum, holding hands, sitting in the rear of the church. Such nonsense and such confusion. In any of our services, I will not allow this. At first it brought rebellion, but I've had young people come to me now and said, I appreciate, since I've gotten older, that you made all the young people, I always had all of them in the first four or five rows in the sanctuary, and they were a blessing to the congregation. I didn't allow this nonsense in the house of God. Now again, I want to mention here, if as parents you say, well, I love my child so much, if they throw a tantrum, well, I couldn't spank the darling little thing. Listen, if you do not correct them, and if you do not give them the instruction that the Lord tells you to do, you are allowing a child to be open for demons of anger, for demons of frustration, for demons of fear, and many other demons to move in. And I'm going to go a step farther. Any child that has not been disciplined by mother or dad is a child that when they come to the Lord, whether they come to the Lord at 15 or 20 or 25 or 30 or even 35, that is going to be a child of the Lord that is going to be hard for him to discipline, because they haven't known how to yield to the discipline of mother or dad. A child that's been made to do right, and mother and dad have used wisdom and discipline and love with them, when that person comes to the Lord, whether they're 15 or 30 or 40 years old, it's going to be easy for them to discipline the flesh. It's going to be easy for them to discipline their own spirit. It's going to be easy for them to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they have known what it is to come under the subjection of mother or dad. And if we as parents fail to do this, then our children turn out demon-possessed and not in the house of God and not walking in truth. We have to put the blame where it lies. Now remember that. And this is so important. Before even the child is born, mother, dad, the minute that you conceive, you begin to pray for the Holy Ghost to surround that child even while you're carrying the child. And as that child is delivered, don't wait until that child is 16 to start to do something about it, but you start to use the Spirit of God, allow the Spirit of God to use you to bring forth the discipline and the love and the understanding. Because remember, restoring starts in the home. It starts right in the home. And if you want to see that person happy and not walking a demon-possessed life for years and up one day and down the next, you do something about it right now. You that have not allowed God's Spirit to move upon you, thinking that it's not going to be showing love, you let the boldness of the Lord come and you begin to discipline your children and your grandchildren. And we're not going to be producing a group of beatniks and a group of these youngsters that rebel against authority, because we have allowed them to rebel against authority in the home. Therefore, when they go to school, they rebel against authority in the school. When they come to the house of God, they want to rebel against authority there. When God begins to move by His Spirit, they want to begin to rebel against His authority, because they've been allowed to do it from childhood, and that has opened an area, and they have become demon-possessed even before they've hardly had a chance. Now, I'm going to mention about another demon here that is very, very, very severe, and it's even strong among the Christians, and that is this: a demon of suicide. A demon of suicide. I'm going to say something shocking here. If in a believer a person commits suicide, the old school has said, well, now, there is no chance for that person. That person is lost. That person has gone to hell. Now, I'm not excusing this, but I want to show you the revelation that the Lord has brought forth from on this. If you, as a Christian, would die of cancer, the Lord isn't going to send you to hell because you've died of cancer. If you die of tuberculosis, if you die of another disease, the Lord isn't going to send you to hell because you died from this thing. If the believer, some way, without the understanding, some knowledge, without the lack of knowledge, my people are destroyed, the Word says. If for some reason a suicide spirit enters into a person, and this suicide spirit, and remember, when this person commits suicide, it is not themselves, it is a spirit of suicide that has driven them to do it. We need to discern these spirits because many, many of the believers that have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they're being used of God. We're facing it every day. So saints, let's face it. These things are facts. We can't just cast them aside. Let's face this and realize that this is actually a suicide spirit. And that suicide spirit will cause that person to commit suicide unless they receive deliverance. We remember just a few years ago, and this is a way the devil will work. Now remember, he has troops out, and you can read your newspaper, and you can see what troop is acting today. You can turn on the television and hear the newscast, and if you discern in the spirit at all, you can see the sergeant and the troop that is working that day. This is the reason you must know this, or you'll know how to bind demons before they get out so much. And there is this. Remember a few years ago, Marilyn Monroe. Many people loved her all over the country and overseas, but many people did not know her any more than I did, or any more than a lot of these that I'm going to speak about. All right? The demon, the sergeant of the suicide demon said, we're going to get a prominent person. We're going to get a person that is well known not only in the United States, but around the world. If we can enter in that person and get them to commit suicide, then the suicide demons will move into areas of people around the world. And that's exactly what happened. Marilyn Monroe committed suicide. What began to happen in Japan, thousands of miles away, young men as old as 17 years old, men up to 70 years old, they committed suicide and they left a note and they said, we did it because of our love for Marilyn Monroe. It went and on, these troops worked on over to India and Africa and even in Europe and across the United States. There were women at 70 years old, young women, older men, 70 years old. They committed suicide because these suicide demons entered in them. This troop was out. Areas were open. These demons moved in, and they left a note, and they said, we committed suicide because Marilyn Monroe did. Now, I bring this out to show you how these demons will work in truth, and it's very important that you understand this. When you hear of something like that, just don't become aghast about it, but begin to bind in the name of the Lord and say, you demon of suicide, you sergeant of suicide that has control of all these suicide demons, I bind you in the name of the Lord so that you will not be able to enter into other people. I remember, to bring it out here, we were ministering in a certain city in Washington. There was a lady there between 25 and 30 years old, and at the end of the service, after people had been slain in the power, I had gone to the side room to start to minister with a pastor and with one of the elders for the casting out of demons for an individual. People came rushing into the office and said, Reverend Duncan, can you come out? There I walked back there. This person cried out. The demon spoke out through her and said, I hate you. I'd like to murder you. She began to scream. I said, I want to take you to the delivery room. After a little bit, her human spirit was willing. And remember this, ministry like this is never forced on anyone. This person was crying out for help. So I said to this person, I said, what brought you to the meeting? She had come for quite a distance. She said, I saw in the Seattle newspaper that there were Holy Ghost meetings being conducted. It was quite hard to get to the place where we were holding the meeting. But there she found the way because she said, here I have been so demon-possessed. She said, I have a suicide demon. These demons began to manifest. And again, they're fighting me. Again, which we bound very shortly. And again, she cried out, said, I hate you, I hate you. So this party said to me, I plan to get ready to go. It was before deliverance. Said, I plan to get ready. I'm going to another state. I said to the person, are you going to fly? And this person that had this suicide demon that planned to kill himself, Krylo said, no, fly. He said, I'm scared to death of flying. I'm afraid something would happen. I said, I thought you just told me that you're going to commit suicide, that you're going to take your life. Now, I'm bringing this out to show you that people that have suicide demons desire to live. They do not desire to die. Many of them that commit suicide, and it's sad, the young people that are committing suicide, 15 and 20 years old. I run into it so much lately. I've been called to their home, and there I've gone out in garages and so forth where these youngsters, 15 years old, have hanged themselves, and there they're lying there, and they're completely gone. There's nothing you can do about it. And I said, God help us in America. I said, Lord, what on earth is taking place? They're in our churches. We're concerned about ham dinners. We're concerned about chicken dinners. We're concerned about board meetings. Our conferences, our denominations will get together and give Sunday school reports and reports of everything else. We'll put on skits and plays and everything, but allow God's Spirit to move. And here these youngsters that are sitting in our church, they're going out one by one, and even many of them that their life is ahead of them for many years, they're committing suicide because of suicide demons. And yet, as I mentioned just a moment ago, people are saying, oh, our church isn't ready. Our young people shouldn't hear that. Listen, if they would hear this message, they would be delivered of these demons, and they would not take their own life because they desire to live. Many a young mother that has precious children, what happens to her because a suicide demon has entered in? There's also a murder demon. She takes her two or three lovely children out. She kills them, and then she leaves a note, and she has committed suicide. Across the nation, this is taking place today. We see a father that has a suicide demon. All right, what does he do? The demon will say, now, you know you don't want your children, your wife to live after this has happened. And so because the area of suicide has been open, a murder demon will move in. There he'll kill his mother and father. He'll kill many. He'll kill his children. And then he'll leave a note. And then he kills himself. These are murder demons. These are suicide demons. And right within our Christian realm, right within our Pentecostal realm, one after another, they'll come to our office, those that we see sitting in the congregation of the righteous, and they seem like they're the sweetest mothers of Israel, that there could be nothing wrong with them. And as we begin to move in, they'll cry out, I've got a murder demon. I would like to kill so-and-so. All right, why did they have a murder demon? Because of some area that was open perhaps years ago, a temper, anger, frustration, or something else, and this gave way that a murder demon would come in. Sure, they've kept it subdued, but let me tell you, with these demons that we're keeping under subjection, instead of allowing them to be cast out in the name of the Lord, they may be kept under subjection for so long, but the moment will come, or the time will come, when they will get a chance to manifest, and they will manifest themselves, and then the harm will be done. And this is the reason, as you read your newspaper, and you hear the newscast, whether it's on the radio or television, and you'll hear that after a person maybe is killed, from 1 to 6 or 8 or 15 or 16 people, they'll say, well, I blacked out. I didn't know what was happening at the time. Listen, those demons will cause them to black out at the time, and many of them do not actually know what they're doing at the time, because the demons will take control of their mind. They're in such a rage, and then afterwards they'll see what they've done. But during the time that this has been taking place, it has been a murder demon that has been manifesting through them. It's been an anger demon that's been manifesting through them. It's been a spirit of resentment that has been manifested through them. These are serious things, and these are things that we must know about. We cannot curb this by law. We can get together in conferences and try more Sunday school rallies and more things for the young people and more outlets for the young people. Instead of the young people needing more outlets and more all of this that the world is providing for them, they need truth on this. And instead of the church trying to compete with the world, we need to move in with the ministry of deliverance, because the church is called to be a deliverer in the name of the Lord. The Lord said, I give unto you the keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And listen, I want to tell you, we've prayed for years for God to do it, and the Lord said, I give you power in my name to do it. You can pray until you're blue in the face for God to do it, but God has given you the power over all the powers of the enemy, and he expects you to deliver people. He expects takes you to cast out demons in the name of the Lord. And for you that will hear this tape, you take this and don't begin to wait until a month or 2 months or 3 months. You may say, well, how am I going to begin to move in? Whether you discern what demons they are or not, if you discern that there are demons in people, you take them and you look them straight in the eye and command these demons to come out. And as you do this, you recognize that the demons know and that you recognize your authority in the name of the Lord, and you will marvel as these demons come out. Many of them will begin to manifest. You will learn by experience, and as you begin to move in, the Lord will give you the assurance, and confidence will come forth, because the more you do anything, the greater confidence you have in it. So don't be afraid to move in. Take the Word of God. Stand upon the Word of God. And the devil will keep saying, now you'll have to get more teaching. You'll have to get more teaching. Well, while you're getting more teaching, take the authority in the name of Jesus.
Reading in Matthew the 17th chapter and the 14th verse, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, be hence removed to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you.
Now remember the story here, that the Lord said that they could not cast this demon out because of unbelief. Now again, back to a thought that we have mentioned so many times, people will say, well, it's such a big demon, it's going to take 3 or 4 days. It's such a big demon, it's going to take 6 or 8 people to cast it out. Listen, it is not that it's a big demon that it's going to take 3 or 4 days, but we do not have belief that we can do it. The scripture where the Lord said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Now, all means all. And this doesn't put big demons in a different category than little demons, as we would call them. But it says, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you or come against you. And then the Lord said to the disciples, they said, well, Lord, why couldn't we do this? The Lord commanded the devil to come out. The devil came out, and I'll tell you, if we want to call this a severe case, it was, because as they brought this child to the Lord, this is what he said. He said, Lord, have mercy upon my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. Now the demons were so strong in this young man that they would take him and try to throw him in the fire. They would take him and try to throw him in the water. Why? To kill him. To murder him. Demons are out to destroy, to kill, and to murder. Now as we go on with our study here concerning demons, now, it's very prevalent across the country for people that have moved into actually idolatry and witchcraft and many others that many of you know much about, actually for a curse to be put on them by the devil, or for a curse to be put upon a person by a person that is mixed up in all this. Now, when a curse is put on a person, this curse has to be broken in the name of the Lord, and it has to be broken by a person that has greater power than the people that put the curse, or greater power than the curse is. Now, greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world. And as we realize the power in Jesus' name, and actually what was accomplished on the cross and the resurrection life in Jesus' name, and that these mortal bodies right now, these mortal bodies, these fleshly bodies are quickened by the Spirit of the living God, we're going to realize that instead of having unbelief, that faith is going to begin to operate. And as we've taught you over and over again, according to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, Paul said that he would not have us to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. And on to the 6th verse, he said that he worketh all in all. And he was mentioning about all the 9 gifts of the Spirit, because he names them in the 12th chapter. He said he worketh all the 9 gifts of the Spirit in all. And what all was he speaking about? He was speaking to Spirit-filled people. He was speaking to people that had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so he brings out, he worketh all the 9 gifts of the Spirit in all. Now let me tell you, saints of God, There are not enough ministers that can cast out all the demons in the people in the United States, Canada, and England, and around the world. This is the reason this is going to take every believer that will believe in this and allow unbelief to go. And even that is, as believers, whether you're called to minister, whether you're called to preach or not, you are called to minister deliverance to people that are bound. You are called to minister deliverance to people that are in bondage, no matter if you're called to preach the word or not. For years, we have just stunned the enemy instead of bruising his hand. I'll tell you, we need to come to the place that instead of just bruising the enemy, we need to, instead of stunning the enemy, we need to bruise his head in the name of the Lord. Now, when this began really to become revelation to me, I had had this tremendous experience with the Lord, a sovereign work of God, 8.5 years ago. I shared a little bit with you that I was not satisfied with what was taking place even in the Pentecostal realm. I said it was one thing to tell about the Azusa Street Revival. It was one thing to tell about the Welsh Revival. It was one thing to tell about the John Lake Revival, and all of those would thrill me as a young man. But I said, Lord, I said, if demons aren't being cast out now, if youngsters and adults are not being slain under the power now, if there's not the joy of the Lord being manifested now, I'll say it. I said, I have nobody to blame but myself. And for 7 months, I sought God. I mean, I sought God. I got sick of the old way. I got sick of the old school. I got sick of the traditions of man. I got sick of what we call order, everything done decently and in order. I got sick of that. I said, that is not producing according to the word of God. Now, it's one thing to talk about power, and it's another thing to allow the power to manifest. It's one thing to stand up and say we need it, but it's another thing, don't ever preach unless you move into the activity of it. Faith is action, and the book of Acts has never been finished. The book of Acts will be completed in the ministry through you and me, through the healing of the sick, of people coming to the Lord that aren't saved. Those that do not walk to walk in the name of the Lord, blind eyes open, and many others, miracles will be wrought. For the Lord said, greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to my Father. So as we've gone overseas, I realized that I hadn't moved much in the realm of discerning of spirits and casting out demons, but the Lord spoke to Sister Duncan and myself and to say, go overseas. And when we were overseas, one night there were around 2,000 or 2,200 people with several hundred on the outside. I saw people come in frothing at the mouth. I saw them coming in so demon-possessed, small little ladies that hardly weighed 80 pounds, that 6 or 7 men couldn't handle them because of the strength of demons. Now, I want to say something here. Demons are strong, whether they're manifested in a child, whether they're manifested in a woman, whether they're manifested in a large man or a big man. It's not the strength of the person. It's the strength of the demons that are manifesting and using the powers of that person. Remember that. So as I looked down over the congregation, I saw people come in with big sores on their arms, big sores on their legs. I saw people coming in groaning. I saw people come in that had never heard the name of the Lord, let alone the Holy Ghost. I saw the unsaved come in. I saw people come in from almost every nationality. And as I walked in with a missionary and I sat down on the platform, I looked down and I said, God, there's not one sermon that I could preach that would do the job. I said, Lord, if I would preach on salvation, what about the demon-possessed? I said, Lord, if I preach on demon-possessed, and only the Lord knows how many demon-possessed were in the service. I said, if I preach on demon possession, what about those that have cancers? What about these big sores? I said, Lord, I said, if I preach on healing, I said, what about those that aren't saved? And you know what the Lord spoke to me? The Lord said, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And this is where I really began to see in the realm of the Spirit. And the Lord said, if you will begin to minister in the realm of the Spirit, it is the same Spirit that will save a soul as it will heal the body. It is the same Spirit that will command you, that will allow you to command those demons to come out. It's the same Spirit that works through you that will cause people to be saved. We saw God begin to move in a supernatural way, and instead of just trying to give sermons in the natural, we would minister until hours of the night. Hundreds were saved. Many were delivered of demons. Many were filled with the Holy Ghost. Many moved into the gifts of the Spirit. They moved into the joy of the Lord. Not because I as an American had come with homiletical sermons, not because I had come with programs and all the other things that we've tried to do for years, but because the Lord said, listen, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We saw such a tremendous work done because of the ministry of the Spirit. In this one morning prayer meeting, there were between 600 and 700 that had come. I'm speaking now of a morning prayer meeting. As we, as the saints, were gathering to pray, we had begun to minister. There they brought in a certain lady, a small lady that weighed, I would say, between 70 and 80 pounds, but so demon-possessed that six or seven big men couldn't hold her down. I saw this little lady groaning, you have no understanding unless you've heard it, of groanings that were coming forth. I saw this woman frothing at the mouth. I looked down and I saw them trying to control this woman that was so demon-possessed. Now remember, I was new in this ministry at the time. I didn't understand a lot about discerning the spirit, but I was willing to move in. The place was crowded out in front. I thought I must get her to a side room. We took her to a side room. It was filled with people under the power, people that were getting saved, people that were slain under power, actually prostrate before God. I said to the men, let's try to get her to another room. We got to another room. There were people seeking God, people prostrate before the Lord, under the power, on God's operating table. Now, some will ask me, and I know many of the tapes that will listen to the tapes, perhaps you haven't been in our meetings when, as we lay our hands upon people, they're slain under the power all over the place. And in Trinidad at this time, we would see as many as 4 and 5 under the power at one time. The unsaved, and as they would come in unsaved and being slain under the power, not even understanding what we were doing, there they would get saved as they were prostrate before God. Listen, we feel that God has to work just in one way. We're so used to an altar call that if we feel that we don't get them to raise their hands first and then take the second step and the third step, we think that God hasn't done a work. Listen, God's Spirit is much greater than that, and God's Spirit is not limited to the small ways that we have been moving in God. Thank God for the many that have knelt at the altars and have been saved. I'm not against that. I thank God for those that have been saved. But listen, not every person is going to be reached just by us pleading with them to raise their hands and then ask them to stand and then ask them to come down. Listen, it's a ministry of the Spirit. So thereafter, we had taken this lady that was so demon-possessed, like she was going to die in a minute, throwing herself and frothing at the mouth and groanings and utterings that you can't understand unless you would see it. There it seemed like there was no place that we could get away from the public to minister to her. So there was nothing to do but to take her to the center of about 600 or 700 people. There as she was thrashing and lashing and frothing at the mouth, the Spirit of God reminded me that night before of sitting on the platform. He said that there is nothing in the human way that you can do to minister to this congregation, but it's by my Spirit. And suddenly I walked down to where I was standing. I put my hand upon that little demon-possessed woman, and I said, I command in the name of Jesus for every demon to leave you. And the minute I gave the command in the name of the Lord, not just one or two, but many demons left that woman, and she became just as sweet as a newborn baby. I said, now I want you to stand. She obeyed. These 600 or 700 people were watching. I said, you walk over about 20 feet from here. And as she did, she walked over. She was very obedient. She wasn't lashing. She wasn't throwing herself. She wasn't frothing at the mouth anymore. And I said, I'm going to lay my hands on you. Now you're going to be slain under the power. I laid my hands upon that precious sister that had just been delivered from so many demons that had been tormented actually all of her life and driven for many, many years. No joy, no peace, no satisfaction because of the destructive force of demon powers. And as we walked over about 20 feet, I laid my hands upon her. I said, I minister the Spirit of God to you. You'll be slain under the power. And there she fell prostrate before the Lord as an innocent newborn child, the Spirit of God ministering to her. And I'll never forget the last night on the island. The place was filled to capacity. I saw the rear door open and in walked a little lady dressed in white. She had the hold of her husband with one arm, and in the other arm she was carrying a lovely little baby just 2 or 3 months old. And as the testimony started, I'll never forget it as long as I live. This lady stood, and she said, I'm the one that came in so demon-possessed the other night. But she says, I was delivered in the name of Jesus, every demon left. Now she says, I'm sitting, and I'm clothed, and in my right mind. There she had been united with her husband. There she had been united with her little child wife. Not because of a homiletical sermon that I had brought. I could have preached sermons on this and sermons on something else. I could have preached sermons from Bible schools and other sermons that I had studied and I had. I could have given homiletical messages. But listen, it's not that I'm against preaching. I'm not against preaching. But as I said before, I'm for ministry in the preaching that will bring forth deliverance to the people. And if we are bringing forth messages and preaching that is just going to tickle the people's ears, this is not bringing forth deliverance to the people. And I'll tell you, I sat there, and as I wept, and as the jet took off the next day, my heart was broken as these people waved goodbye and many others who had come to the place of deliverance, and the demons had been cast out in the name of the Lord. They were driven until they walked and walked, and as we were in Haiti, it opened my eyes way back in the bush country. Many of these people have nothing to do but to walk and to be immoral. Why? Because they don't even have a gunny sack to sleep on, let alone a cot. They hardly have stones to cook on, let alone stoves like we did, till we would see these people until hours of the morning beating their voodoo drums. And I would look out from the upper room where I was staying, and I would see these young men and women walk, driven by the powers of the devil. And I said, the answer to Haiti, the answer to India, the answer to Africa, the answer to America, the answer to the other places is a move of the Holy Spirit. It's going to take somebody that realizes that they have the authority in the name of the Lord, and that there is not a spirit of unbelief to go in and to break these curses that have been put by demonic activity, and to come against these areas that have been opened by demon powers, and the demon powers have moved in and controlled those lives. Listen, remember, it's not going to be organization that's going to do it. It's not going to be trying to legislate fellowship, because you cannot legislate fellowship. You cannot legislate a move of God. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And when this begins to move upon us, we're going to go forth like they did in the Hebrews, the 11th chapter, by faith Abraham, by faith Gideon, by faith Sarah, by faith those that the world is not worthy. By faith, they put the armies of the aliens to flight. By faith, and just because you're 35 years or older is no sign that you can't go forth in the name of the Lord. Oh, for years, yes, we've been legislated on. If you're over 35 years old, you have to stay in America. You're still a young man at 40. You're still a young man at 50. And remember, it's Caleb, that he saw the fulfillment of the prophecy at 85 that had come over him when he was 40 years old. And he saw that come to pass even at the age of 85. When God begins to restore, when God begins to revive, when the Spirit of God moves upon us, the old become young, and the young become matured in the faith. And it's not your wisdom, it's not the wisdom of the world, it's not the wisdom of man, but it is a gift of the wisdom through you as a believer. It is a gift of the word of knowledge through you as a believer. It is a gift of discerning of spirits through you as a believer. It is a gift of faith through you as a believer. And let's get away that, well, I have to wait until I get a certain age, and if I get beyond 35, there's nothing that I can do for God. Allow the Spirit of God, and I feel this as I speak, allow the Spirit of God to challenge you and to move upon you, to give you faith and courage. Allow the spirit of unbelief to be cast out. Allow the spirit of fear to come out. Because the reason that many aren't doing this today, they're fearing man. They're fearing denomination. They're fearing organization. Yes, they're even fearing Pentecostalism. And I haven't spoken on this spirit in this tape yet, but there is a spirit of Pentecostalism that is worse than Mohammedism, that is worse than Hinduism, and that is worse than a lot of these other isms. And you say, how can you say that? Whether you had the baptism 40 years ago or 50 years ago, and if the Spirit of God and the Word of God is not a living, vital force within your heart and soul today, whether you spoke in tongues 40 or 50 years ago, a spirit of Pentecostalism can come in that we deny the power thereof. Pentecost is an experience. It's not an ism. Pentecost is an experience that is not a denomination. Pentecost is an experience that goes on, that will cause you to move into the things of God and to allow the Spirit of God to be manifested through you. For the manifestation of the Spirit of God is given to every man withal. So since that experience in Trinidad and seeing this woman so delivered and set free, naturally the Spirit of God began to move upon me in a greater measure, and I wasn't afraid to move on into that which God had spoken by the Holy Ghost. Now I want to say here that many people are blinded today because of a spirit of blindness. Now, I'm not speaking of spiritual blindness now. I'm speaking of blind in their physical life. Many people are not able to speak today because of a dumb spirit. And when we come against that dumb spirit, then that person will be able to talk. We had a severe case of this with a little child just this week. This little child was deaf and dumb. This little child had many areas that were filled with demons. Oh, it was a sad, sad case. Now, this little child couldn't hear us as we ministered to her. And to tell you what she did as we began to minister, and she could not hear us, but she lay down, and with a smile that wasn't a natural smile, something very different, she took her fingers and plugged both ears just like she was not going to hear. But this has nothing to do in the realm of the spirit. You are not speaking to the natural mind. You are speaking to intelligent beings within those people, and they can hear you whether that person in the natural can hear or not. Now, I feel led to say that again, because many of you that will be hearing this tape, you won't only be delivered, but you're going to be ministering this to many others, and you must know that. And so I'll say that again. When you are speaking to demons, you are speaking to intelligent beings within a person, and whether that person in the natural hears you or not, it doesn't make any difference, because those intelligent beings are hearing you, and they're going to have to give vent to the word that is spoken in the name of Jesus. So whether that person would act like they're hearing or not, or if that person is deaf or dumb or not, remember that you go beyond the natural mind, and you are speaking to the intelligent beings within the person, and they will hear the word of command. Now in Matthew 12 and 22 we read, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David?" Now listen, I want to tell you something here. When God begins to move, it's the religious world that stands against it, for we read on in the 24th verse, "But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devil. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or home divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then the kingdom of God stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Now listen, as they brought this man to the Lord, he was deaf and he was dumb. And who were the Pharisees? They were religious people. And you would have thought that they would have been so glad whether they believed in the way that he did it or not. And you would have thought that they would have even looked beyond the things that they had heard, the false reports that had been told about even the Lord himself, because he became of no reputation, and that they would have rejoiced because this man that was deaf and dumb was healed, the demons were cast out, and he began to speak, and he also heard. Now listen, saints of God, whether God moved the way that we felt he should 40 years ago or 50 years ago, or whether the Lord is moving in a supernatural way in the way that our human minds and our religious thinking feel that he is moving or not, doesn't make any difference. We should look beyond that and thank God that people are seeing again. Thank God that people are hearing again. We should begin to thank God instead of standing as a religious world and say, "This is going to upset my apple cart." It sure is going to upset your apple cart. I'll tell you, as human beings and as leaders of the gospel, we have said if God moves, it's going to get out of hand. It is going to get out of hand. It's about time that it gets out of the hand of man into the realm of the supernatural power of God. Let us quit being men pleasers. Let us quit saying, "Well, if they don't agree with this at headquarters," a lot of times people will say, "Well, do they agree with this at headquarters?" It doesn't concern me a bit if they agree with this at headquarters or not. I am concerned whether it agrees with the headquarters in heaven. I am concerned whether it agrees with "Thus saith the Lord," and whether it's in the word of God here. It is a religious world. It's even many times a spirit of Pentecostalism, as I mentioned before, that people need to be delivered from, that is standing against that which God is doing by his Spirit today, because God isn't working in a way that satisfies our human flesh. And let me tell you, a move of God is hard on the human flesh. Any place I go, and the people know this, and they'll testify and tell you if you see them, I don't go to any place to pamper the flesh. I don't go any place to baby the flesh. That's been done for years and years. And people will say, "Well, if you tell so-and-so they have a demon, that's going to offend them. Why, they're going to quit coming to my church. I'm afraid they'll start to tithe to somebody else." Listen, we don't go any place to pamper the flesh.
place. I don't go any place to be churchy. I don't go any place to be orthodox. Our services are not orthodox at all. Our services are not churchy at all. Listen, all of this system that has crept into Pentecost under the name of Pentecost and under the name of full gospel, God help us today and God deliver us from it. Let's quit trying to be orthodox. Let's try to quit being religious and let's be deliverers in the name of the Lord. If the religious group stands against you, remember the Lord was not a popular person when he came. Many people are saying today, oh, I wish Jesus would come and preach in my church. Listen, if Jesus were to come and preach in most of our churches, it would bring fear on so many of God's people because they know that Jesus would know about the demons in them and the Lord wouldn't go in and just begin to bless them and tickle their ears, but the Lord would go in and begin to drive out the money changers. The Lord would go in and begin to cast out demons in the name of the Lord. I'll tell you, there'd be a riot for a while. I'll tell you, there'd be a cleansing of the temple for a while. When you pray and ask Jesus to come in, you remember that Jesus is going to come in. And we said, oh, Jesus is going to come in and just unite everyone. Jesus says, I came to divide. Now, the Spirit of God, and many times as God moves, it brings a division in the house of God. The servant that is being used of God, unless people see in the realm of the Spirit, will get the blame and they'll say, he's splitting churches, he's doing this, and he's doing that, and it's bringing division among the church people. Let me tell you, a genuine move of the Holy Ghost will bring division anytime, because what is it that brings division? If you choose to walk in the light. The Word says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And what is it that will cease people from having fellowship one with another? Some will see truth and others see it at the same time. The certain ones will choose to move on in truth and the others will reject it because of the reproach and the repercussions of it. And so thereby fellowship is severed. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. Now I'm going to illustrate it this way. If we were in a dark sanctuary, and it was midnight, all the lights were turned off, and everybody was sitting in total darkness. If there would come somebody from a rear door in the back, and you would be facing the front, and this person would come in behind you, and if he would have a strong light, and if he would flash it from behind, and if you would be looking forward, it would bring light. You know what I'm speaking about. Instead of light, instead of darkness, there would be light. Every person in that sanctuary that has been brought into that light because of that bright light, they could turn and they could walk against that light, and instead of bringing lightness, it would bring blindness to them. You know what I'm speaking about, because that which had brought light, because they were not going against the light, but if they turn and stand and walk against the light, it brings blindness and darkness to them. Now, this is what happens many times when God moves by his Spirit. All right, people will move in with rejoicing. People will accept that. Afterwards, a lot of the times of friends, ministers, denominations will come to these people and they'll say, well, now all that isn't necessary. Why, that's just fraud. Why, that's just chaff. If you clap your hands, that's chaff. If you victory march, that's chaff. If you dance before God, that's chaff. If you allow the saints to play tambourines, that's chaff. The Word of God says to praise him in the dance. It says to praise him with the timbrel. It says to playing upon with your 10-stringed instrument. It said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I want to tell you, saints of God, just because you rejoice in the things of God does not make it chaff. Just because you're just as dead can be, this is no sign that you're weak. A lot of times people will say, well, I want to be a deep, mature Christian. You show me any place in the Word of God just being so reserved and dignified and so penned up by the powers of the devil and fear and frustration and everything that goes with it. That is not the life of Christ. And anything that will bring bondage to you, that you can call it weed, you can call it anything else, it's nothing but the workings of darkness. It's nothing but the workings from the pit of hell. And remember, as we have given you the scriptures before, the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. Now, the Lord came not only to save you, but to set you free. Remember Lazarus, life had come into him, but he still had on his grave clothes. And he still had on his grave clothes until the command was given to cut off his grave clothes. Listen, as saints, many of us are saved today. Many of the saints are saved today, but they're still bound in their grave clothes. And the minute the grave clothes are cut, they begin to shout, they begin to dance, they begin to rejoice in the things of God. And right away, a lot of people will throw up their hands and say, oh, that's fanaticism. Oh, that's a place. Listen, a lot of this other is a place. This which we have been bringing forth even in Pentecost for years and years. It's nothing but the works of place that has brought people under bondage and into Babylon. And many of us have been sitting by and we weep when we remember Zion. Many of you folks that will listen to this tape, you mothers and fathers of Israel, you'll remember the days of the sawdust trail. You'll remember the days of the old tabernacles. We didn't have beautiful organs. We didn't have ministers that were degreed. We didn't have many. The ministers didn't have hardly a suit to wear. And yet you remember the former glory when the Spirit of God would move in a supernatural way. Our harps were not hanging on the willow. But oh, I'll tell you, we've been taken into captivity. We've been taken into bondage. God's people have been brought into such captivity that, thank God, these are days of when people are coming out of Babylon. And whether it's a big system or a small system, I don't care how small the system is that stands against the move of God, that is Babylon, whether it's big or small. And allow that to become revelation to you. These are days when God wants to get us liberated. These are days when we need to know the joy of the Lord. For remember, as the appearing of the Lord will approach, the demonic activity shall grow, and it shall increase, and it shall increase. And unless you realize that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places, if you can't stand against those that will criticize the move of God today, unless you can be identified with Christ, and when you move into this, you're not only identified with Christ in His glory and in His power, you're identified with Christ in rejection, you're identified with Christ in reproach, you're identified with Christ in rebellion. A lot of people want to be identified with Christ only in His glory and only in His power and not in His suffering. But remember, for Christ to know the glory, He had to know the suffering. To go through this, you will be stripped of everything. And until you come to the place that you're willing to be stripped of everything that you hold dear to you, you are not ready for this revival that God is bringing in the world. You're not ready for the reproach and rejection, because you'll still try to hang on to this as a crutch. But remember in Hebrews 12 and 13 that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And unless we allow the power of God to do it now, it's going to be shaken later on. So we just as well allow the Spirit of God to do it. Sister Duncan and I know from experience, because the 8.5 years that we've moved into this, I've never seen so much joy among the body of Christ. I've never known so much peace and happiness in all my life since we've moved into this ministry. But let me tell you, it hasn't all been glory. Oh, I'll tell you, there have been valleys and darkness that we've gone through. But I'll tell you, the Lord has challenged us not to turn to the left, not to turn to the right. And when I first began to move this way, some of the ministers said, well, we're going to see how long Duncan will stay in this. It'll probably be 2 or 3 months, because they knew me as such a reserved, dignified person. But saints of God, that's been 8.5 years ago, and I wouldn't change this life in the Lord and this walk of victory for all of that other put together. Because to me, to see people delivered and saints of God living in joy and peace and loving one another, the Holy Ghost, to see the drunkard set free, the dope addict set free, other people that are bound by spirits being set free, this is the joy of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is our strength.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.